Okay, go.
Okay, today is Sunday, the 26th of April, 2020. And here we are trying to live with the configuration of what the plague that is harming all of us has done to the world. Be'ezrat Hashem nitgaber. I want to ask everyone to daven for Shlomo Zalman Ben Yita, that's Steve Bressler. He fell, he broke his hip, and he faces a long rehabilitation. As you know, he's been having a lot of health problems, and we should be mitpalel for him. Thank you. I also want to thank Mori and my granddaughter Timna, who have helped me with the technical matters. And I also want to thank all the people around the world who commented on my talk of last week. I thank you for your kind words. Halavai, we should be zaycha to see tshuva, and Ribbono Shel Olam should be kind to us. I just want to mention that I was given severe musa from all sides, that I happened to say I went to Minyan last Monday morning in accordance with the relaxation of the laws. Although it could be I was a sinner, because I'm over 67, and I believe from that age above, you're not supposed to leave the house, even when the laws are relaxed. So I want to tell you that we stopped going to Minyan, Sam and myself. The Minyan really didn't carry on at 5:30, and we stopped not so much because of the corona, but it was very cold, putting tefillin on in the cold, and we worried stiff at our age will catch pneumonia, not too advisable. So right now, and Rav Asher Weiss, his talk on Friday in honor of Tazria Mitzvah, you can listen to it, I don't have to repeat it, but with his Goynish shtick, he took the Pachim Ktanim, and that Chasa Kadosh Baruch Hu Momomin Shel Yisrael, that you take it out before the coin comes, Halacha Kama V'Kama, we have to be careful about Nefashat. A comment on the news that a lot of people have asked me about. This is a sad comment. I've struggled, I've suffered. And I just want to mention that the 22nd of April was the anniversary of when the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, and I remember it so clearly, it was the first time that this giant expressed frustration and despair in public. And if you recall, he said, I've done my maximum to help bring about Mashiach, the Geula, and now I count on you, the Jewish people, to finish what I have started. And that Hafach Galim, you recall that moment in time. And I have to say that this week, two incidents happened. Jews trying to do good, bring about Geula, and they were frustrated, abrogated, negated. And I want to quote to you a source, the Rav constantly quoted this. Why do we have to worship God? Why do we have to observe Torah? What is the whole reason behind our whole system of mitzvot and our way of life, our kedusha, our sanctity? Open up the Chovat HaLevavot, the introduction to Shah HaShlishi, Shah Avodet HaElokim. In the standard edition, the one that I have here with the Perushim, it's page 138. And here the Chovat HaLevavot says, "V'naleh mizeh omar she'anu chayavim kein lebore yitbal atalem min hashever chaldoya al rov chasto v'gadol tuvo aleinu." V'neman, he goes further. And what is he saying? That the whole concept of Torah, of religion, of surrender to God, is hakaret hatov, for what the Ribbono Shel Olam did in building the world and placing us in it. And the Rav would say time and again, he'd quote the Dayan from Spain, and time and again he would say, our responsibility is a result of Hakaret HaTov to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hakaret HaTov, the most basic principle, according to Rav, in our religion in Yahadut, in Torah Hashem. And I have to tell you, two things happened that broke my heart. In Bnei Brak, the IDF distributed thousands, if not tens of thousands, of packages of food to Lat Kosha. The city was under Hezger blockade, closed down. There was a note in the packages blessing them and how privileged the army is to help them, signed Tzvah Haganah Yisrael, and the Rabbanim in Bnei Brak made the army take the note out of the packages. Well, I say to you, this is a total disgrace, abrogation of Hakarat HaTov. Tzvah Haganah Yisrael, we can be so proud what they have done, not just at war, but in peace. Now it hurts. And then Lo Aleinu, I just cut out of the newspapers. I didn't have to. It's on every newspaper, every news broadcast. This is from Maariv. This is from Yisrael Hayom. It's beyond comprehension to me. The Beit Din of Chabad, Meretz Yisrael, Asad on Chani Lipschitz, lighting on the Su'ah. Medinat Yisrael, Chabad, the Medina, the interaction, the symbiotic, magnificent relationship, the Hakarat HaTov on all levels, from the Medina to Chabad, from Chabad to the Medina, shluchim around the world, interaction, I know more than I want to say, interaction with Israel on every level, and vice versa. Breaks the heart. It's against the most essential basic principles of what Torah stands for. It's like a cow that gives milk and then the cow kicks over the can. What Chabad has done, its prestige, its reputation, and kick over the can of milk. And I want to say more. These are Dayanim. I'm shaking. I don't know how you can go to them for a din Torah, for a psak. Let me tell you the most essential story that every rabbi knows. The Talmud Chacham who came to Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan Spekta asking for smicha, get up with them and learn, and all right, he knows how to learn, good. Rabbi Chanan gives him smicha and he says to him, Gedenks Einzach, one thing you have to remember, the fifth Shulchan Aruch. So he looks at Rabbi Chochan and says, Rabbi, Ashtainis, this Nishtah, fifth Shulchan Aruch, I understand. No fifth Shulchan Aruch. The son says, the most important Shulchan Aruch, common sense, and Dayanim. There's a lot more than just Dalet Halkei Shulchan Aruch. And I want to say further, I'll never forget the Rebbe's talk in the early 70s. I have to thank Manny Holzer, Zeicher Tzadik Lebracha. He recorded it for me. I was living in Israel already, caught up with all going on here. And here I had the Rebbe's talk on tape. He got it off the, it was on the radio at that time. Remember, we progressed from radio to television to internet. And the Rebbe was under heavy attack for innovating Kol Eim Ubat Madlika Neirot Shabbat. You recall my lectures on Chabad. And if Chani Lifshitz can't receive the honor of lighting a Masuah in Hakarat Tov to Chabad and to Medinat Yisrael, then no girl has a right to light Shabbos candles and make a bracha. Okay, read me well and listen to the Rebbe where he spoke about where we got our news from, how life moves on, changes. Torah is eternal, but it fits into every life pattern. Remember what the Rebbe said. People attack me that I've been machadesh. He said, where do we get our news today? We read newspapers today. Of course, it would be the computer. And he says, 100 years ago, where did the Jews get their news? After the Beis Knesset Chayf on the of Chatzer in front of the synagogue where they sat between Mincha and Maariv, and someone saw a newspaper that was 3 months old that reached them from Germany, and he was telling everyone what the news was. I, my dear students, learn and study the Rav's Drasha, Chamesh Drashot, the one in Yosef Yachav. In my humble opinion, I would not know how to breathe air if not for the fact that I know that Drasha by heart. All right, Asicha ve'etali, and for all the people all over the world, I'm answering your question, the critique, and all that came in after last week's share. All right, let's get down to business now, pick up right where we left off. And we work on two levels today. The first level is finishing up the Shaila from the Mishnah Halacha that we're dealing with. And then I want to go 49 rungs deeper and try to understand what the halachic system is about. I don't believe I can finish it today, but Be'ezrat Hashem, what we don't do today, next week, the Eibishter should give us strength and health. We will continue. Now, this question is very interesting. I just want to summarize very quickly. It's very interesting who the personalities are. It's Reb Chaim Dovber Galevsky, who evidently was Eliot Rasner's Rebbe many years ago. But I wish we could get Eliot Rasner and Reb Galevsky together, and Eliot should say to him, Rebbe, who are you? Are you with us or against us? Are you Reb Aaron Cutler's Talmud from Lakewood, opposed to secular studies and NYU and Zionism? Or are you part of Yeshiva University where you taught for so many years and you're so proud and a disciple of the man you consider the greatest person alive, Reb Yosef Dave Halevi Soloveitchik? Who are you? My humble opinion is, after going through all his svarim, we're dealing with a Gaon who was caught between two worlds. On one hand, the Talmud of Reb Aaron, Kletz, Lakewood. On the other hand, proud to have taught NYU for so many years, including a student named Eliot Rasner. Now, he writes to Reb Menashe Klein, I'm quoting to you from Mishnah Halachat Chelek Chet, Siman Kuf Samech Chet. And he writes to him, and again, go back to my shirim. You all know I gave over 2 years on why Jews kill each other over an Erev. But there are reasons why. If you take the Rambam word by word, any place where there's more than Tetzayin Amot, we figured out was at about 30 feet, less than 30 feet. So you shoot the Rav and the Oraita. And you don't need 600,000 marching through. And yet we all build Erev and we don't, you can build an Erev, you build a wall, gates, that's fine. Who can build a wall around New York City? Who can build a wall around London? Who can build a wall around Yerushalayim? And if you take the Rambam, then you can't build an Erev anywhere. And carrying Bereshit HaRabim is a Nisa D'Oraita, with all that it implies. Chilul Shabbos D'Oraita. And that, of course, is the Mishkanot Yaakov Shita. If you take the Bet Ephraim, which was part of the Hasidic world, the Polish Welt, so he was Mekiel, and they opened up a whole world with Rashi Shita. Perhaps we can't be certain if we recall my lectures, but you need 600,000, 600,000 at once. You need Mefulash, you need a street that runs all the way through town, not curving, etc., etc. And we come up with various Sveikot and Snifim, and we build an Erev in London and in New York and in Yerushalayim, etc. So Machlokes HaPoskim, you want to be Machme, I can't repeat all my Shurim, but you know, the Bir Halacha, but Meika Hadin, the world followed the Shita that was not Machme like the Rambam. And Rabbi Galevsky, being a Litvish, and you remember the Rav, didn't carry the rug, I didn't wear tzitzit on Shabbos. So you all know the chumras. It's you suffer if it's a beged, and there's no reshut harabim the oraita took off the tzitzit before Shabbat. He's a Talmud. He's from Litva, and he is furious against Rav Menashe Klein, because all of you know that Rav Menashe Klein stood up to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he wrote tshuva after tshuva in Taya Svarim that one can build an Erev in a big city in Brooklyn and Yerushalayim, etc. And he writes to him, and he's, you know, in a nice way, but he's telling him off, like we use our expression, he's rubbing the knife and he's turning the knife, he's turning the knife. And Rav Menashe Klein writes back to him. Well, first of all, he gets involved. He says, "You litvaken aren't tzaddikim either. You don't do everything your rabbis say." And we got involved with the whole issue of tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Me'ika Hadin, I gave you all the sources. I just want to add something that came in by email. I gave you all the sources. Me'ika Hadin, we should all put tefillin on Chol HaMoed. That's the psak. Look into the Ramal, the Mishnah Brura, Suffolk the Oraita, Tefillin, and none of us. I look at my Talmidim staring at me. There are perhaps many more that will listen across the world, but none of us put on Tefillin and Chol HaMoed. So he says to Galevsky, "Who are you to give me Musa? You take what you're told and you also disregard it." They talk about the whole problem of Shkia, of Rabbeinu Tam, of Rashi. Who follows Rabbeinu Tam? And I, the Rav, what was it? Anachtu. I think by the time the Rav went out of Shabbos, it was over 90, 96 minutes. Mashiach Kazer. But the average Jew, Yom Kippur, when do we eat? Yom Kippur? We follow the Goyim, we don't follow Rabbeinu Tam. 42 minutes, 46 minutes after, here in Yerushalayim, New York, wherever you go, everyone except for Yechidei Sekula follow the Goyim. So he's telling him off. Now, with the tefillin, it's very interesting. I want to thank, it's your uncle, Steve Wagner, your father's brother, Tommy and Steve, who wrote to me. He was very interested in the question I raised about tefillin and Chol HaMoed. So he wrote to Reb Yosef Halevi Soloveitchik, we must know in the old city. Reb Yosef Halevi Soloveitchik is Reb Aaron Soloveitchik's middle son. He might be the biggest London. You know, I don't want to give out titles. He's a Gaon Adir, and he may be the biggest London among Reb Aaron's children. And he wrote to him about the tefillin, and very fascinating. He wrote, I don't want to quote it all. There's a long tshuva he wrote back to him, but the heart of it is what we said in Shir, that although the Shulchan Aruch paskin, what the Ramah paskin, what he paskined, when it came to tefillin, the Gaon said not to put on in Chol HaMoed. And Reb Moshe asked Reb Chaim, "You don't put on tefillin because the Goyim doesn't put on tefillin?" And Rav Chaim said, "No, I don't put tefillin on in Chol HaMoed because I'm convinced it's not this man of tefillin." That's what I told you. Rav Chaim felt the lumbus that Chol HaMoed is like Yom Tov, has Kedushat Hayom. We daven Musaf, it's a regular chag. The only thing is, it has a wider Chet Melacha than Yom Tov. Yom Tov has a limited Chet HaMelacha, Ochel Nefesh, but Chol HaMoed, you can do more than just Ochel Nefesh, but the Kedushat HaYom is essentially the same. If that's the case, it's a note, no place for tefillin. What's interesting is that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik asked his father, Rav Moshe, "Should I put in tefillin or not?" And his father told him, "Study the sugya well and do what you conclude." So what did Reb Aaron do? Suffolk deoraita, he put on in home without a bracha. In shul, he davened without tefillin. the Rav davened without tefillin, according to Rav Yosef. So interesting, we solved that problem. In addition, Rabbi Galevsky pokes fun at the Chassidim, the Pelishim, perhaps the Ungarische. You'll see it inside. That's where he ended up the last year. And he says, how many poskim did you create? How many poskim? And there, Rav Menashe Klein gets hysterical. And the chutzpah, you're wondering, how many poskim did we create? That's the question you're asking? The Litvakin have a monopoly? And Mandachashme, what are you talking about? And Ira, you're listening in Chicago. Well, you're not sleeping at night. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Ashrei Shesafinu. It's a dear Talmud of mine from Chicago. And how many poskim? And look into Rav Menashe Klein, Jack, that he an endless list. Remember you asked me at the end of the shiur, how big is the list? The list is endless of poskim from the Hasidic world. And you are putting down the Bet Ephraim? A gone idea, a gone sheba goyim, a posek sheba poskim. And here you have to know, Rav Menashe Klein is absolutely right. He calls your attention to Kloisenberg, to Gehr. You see, the whole thrust in learning is different. The Litvische Welt, I've told people that there was so much Hashgacha Pratit in my life when the encyclopedia ended in 71. So the publisher, Keter, offered me a terrific contract to remain a staff editor and work for them. 2,000 lira a month. That was real money in 71. Started 69, 71, I was getting 1,200 lira, 2,000 lira. And I had to go back to teaching, and I was desperate to go back to being a Rebbe like I was in America and to teach Shas, Rashi, Tosfot, Rambam, learn how to learn. I would have been a big Talmud Chacham, perhaps, in Nashim Vinizikim. I wouldn't have known anything else. I had a miracle that Whitey Horowitz had a hang-up, I'll say, that a Rebbe who teaches Gemara has to have a beard and wear black clothes and a black hat. Rakefitz and Eisbach on that level. He can teach Jewish history. That opened the world to me that I could conquer what I wanted, teach what I want. But no one can say I haven't tried to master Kol HaTorah Kula. And Baruch Hashem, I was like a hatir and a gunner. That's not a small matter that the Babaji Yosef should put his two hands on my shoulders and hug me. All right. The Litvish world, you have Banim, Rashi Yeshiva, kids. What are they learning? Nezikin, Noshim, how to learn a Rambam, a Ravit, a Reb Chaim, a Ktsais. The Hasidic world, kids already at 12 are learning Chulin. The whole thrust is not the Lumdus, but the Bekiyot, the Halacha. How many of you went to Yeshivat Chachmei Lublin? Charlie, you wanted to get into Chachmei Lublin 1932, 33? You had to know hundreds of Daf Gemara by heart. The Kiyot. That's what the two different approaches. And he's saying, and you take Kloisenberg today, Dafyomi, the Bekiyot, you take Gehr, Gedole Yisrael sitting there and mastering Kol HaTorah Kula. All right. They don't have the Lumdus of Reb Chaim. Agreed. Perhaps the Ktsais HaChoshen is not exactly in their daily ballpark. The Avnei Miluim, etc. But it's what an approach. And to say that Beth Ephraim can't paskin, chas v'chalila. Then he takes on, and remember we touched upon this, and it's crucially important. We'll come to it and go a lot deeper, but he takes on Rav Galevsky is mocking the Chazon Ish. Why is he mocking the Chazon Ish, Yomo? Because the Chazon Ish came up with a svara we spoke about in great detail a few years ago, that nowadays there's no reshut harat in the oraita. What's about buildings? You go into a city, go to the west side. The west side, you look up, all you see are tremendous walls, buildings, buildings, buildings. Take London, take Golders Green. The houses are right on top of each other. It's a sight to see in Golders Green. Take Yerushalayim. Wow. So the Chazon Ish comes up with an idea that Bizman Hazeh, due to the way we build. So Rav Galevsky says, no, according to the Chazon Ish, there'll never be a Reshut HaRav in the Oraita. It's like Ben Sora Mora. It's Dasheni, the Kabel Scha, but Lo Haya V'lo Nivra. No, maybe Ben Sora Mora, but there shouldn't be a Reshut HaRav in the Oraita. Does this make sense? And this is towards the end of the Tshuva. He says, yes, life can change, situations can change. Ein achinami, the Chazon Ish can be absolutely right. And what's wrong if it's like Ben Sora Mora, who says that you must have a Reshut HaRav in the Oraita for Torah civilization to thrive? Times have changed. And he said, Rav Galevsky brings a, you'll see it inside, he's medayek in a Rashi, l'lameh z'chut al klal Yisrael. It seems there's one shita, Perish Rashi Ber Reuven, he's medayek in Rashi, that it all matters the way the city began. And if that's the case, knew every city we have, how did we begin? Who walked the streets of New York in 1654? No, we were there already. Jews came in 1654. Little houses, 600,000 people? Who heard of that? Streets, Tetzai and Amud wide? No. The way the city began, even when it expands ad infinitum, it's still considered a Reshut HaYochid. And Menashe Klein says, I'll agree with you, it's a svara. And he says, but if that's the case, how do you object to my Erev in Brooklyn? And he quotes, Menashe Klein says, the historians, it's like going on YouTube, they have these programs, 10 things you didn't know about Brooklyn, 10 things, 11 things you didn't know about the Bronx, Queen. No, you come up with a program what Borough Park looked like 150 years ago. A house here, you had to walk another 10 minutes, another house, Reshut HaRav in the Oraita, Manda Hashmei, unheard of. What did you have? A beautiful, beautiful Reshut HaYochid. And even though Borough Park today, Baruch Hashem, has tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands perhaps. No, I don't know, could be that many. And houses right next to each other, all that separating them at times is a driveway. You build it, you can solve everything, but it's still like a Reshut HaYochid, not a Reshut HaRav in the Oraita. And he says, and if you medayek and Rashi on that level, he says to Rav Galevsky, then go back to Rakepit Sheyurim on the original Rashi with 600,000, that's also Rashi Shita. Vimala Meitzchut on Klal Yisrael, and please don't take on the Bet Ephraim and abrogate him. We have every right not just to Paskin like the Mishnah Brura, the Bir Halacha, and even the Bir Halacha, if you recall, admits that Me'ika Hadin, the Halacha, is like the Bet Ephraim. The Mishkanot Yaakov is only a Chumrah. And then he takes on the referring to Rav Galevsky's point of view, that he dismisses everyone. He says, I want to end off with a bit of a joke, lighthearted. I'm not dismissing anyone. Why am I not dismissing anyone? And he tells the following story, that they repeat that the Vilna Gaon was told about a certain Talmud of his, Lomei Torah Lishma, for whom it duka baniyut, tsarech lahoshio, that the Vilna Gaon had a Talmud, doesn't give a name, and was learning Torah Lishma, big Talmud Chacham, but he's suffering. We have to help him. And the Gaon said, you're telling me lies. You're telling me sheker. It can't be he's a big Talmud Chacham. Can't be he's such a tzaddik. Why not? And the Vilna Gaon quoted the Tanchuma to Pashat Pitisa Chavtet, Kolo Seit B'Torah Panasato Min HaTorah Midasher U'matzliach. Whoever is involved with Torah, learning properly, sincerely, God will give him panasa. He will be wealthy. He will succeed. And if you're telling me this Talmud is learning and he's suffering and he has needs, cannot be. Because if he really was learning, mitasher, matzliach, panasato min haTorah. And the Rav Menashe Klein says, I don't want to say anything negative about the Mishkanot Yaakov, because I'm sure he was wealthy, Shehaya Ashir, and therefore that proves that he was a great Talmud Chacham. But nevertheless, we disagree. By the way, I thought the challenge someone should research was the Mishkanot Yaakov really Ashir. Could be there's a double meaning here, a double intended, that what he's saying is he really wasn't a Shia, so that proves he wasn't like the Bet Ephraim, who they say was majestic in appearance and the way he conducted himself. Anyway, he ends off the tshuva, U'bezen chinini yedid nafsho, somachli lirot shalakach mizmano hayaka lahayir al devarenu, and here I think also there's a double intending. You know, you're dealing with very bright people, but he's saying to the inquirer, to Rav Galevsky, is hafochba vahafochba. Take it literally. What does it mean? The opposite of what you're saying. Exactly the opposite. Ha-hefech. Not the way we understand how folk want to learn and learn, turn it over and turn it over. It's the opposite. The halacha is like the Bet Ephraim. So this is a beautiful tshuva from Rav Menashe Klein to Rav Galevsky. But this tshuva touches upon the most detailed questions one can ask about the halachic system. What is happening here? What is happening here? And here, let me play the devil's advocate by quoting a well-known colleague of mine, Rabbi Dr. Nathan Lopez Cardoza. All of you know the name, all of you have heard him speak, all of you have read some of his writings. Very interesting individual, born in 1946 in Amsterdam, following the Holocaust, named after his father's youngest brother who was killed during the Shoah. His mother was an orphan, and when her Christian parents died, she was raised by his father's Jewish family. She later was involved in saving the family. She married his father. many years later, after he converted, because his mother was not Jewish, she converted, and Rabbi Lopez Cardoza went on to study in many yeshiva, essentially in England, and his smicha is from Gateshead, where he was a Talmud Mufak of Rabbi Ayaleib Gurvitz, who was the famous Rabbi, one of the lions of Gateshead, and came in Aliyah, lives in Beit Vagan for many, many years. And Rabbi Cardoza, I would say he's somewhat in the camp of Rabbi David Hartman. I would imagine Rabbi Hartman had some influence on him. And Rabbi Cardoza wrote a certain article and raised a certain question. I don't entirely understand it, but he seemed to feel if we paskin like Beit Shammai instead of Beit Hillel, or like Abaye instead of Rava, we could be makarev more of the youth to Yiddishkeit. Truth of the matter is, I don't think that would play any role in bringing the North Tel Aviv crowd, the Northerners, modern Hebrew, Hatzfoniyim, modern Hebrew slang. I don't believe that would play any role in bringing the Tzfoniyim any closer to Yiddishkeit. But let's take the question, why can't we paskin differently? And I'll ask a more basic question. You all know the halacha is like Beit Hillel, not like Beit Shammai. Tell me, when we learn Gemara, Yoma opens a Gemara, all right? Three different opinions in the first Mishnah. When can you be Yotzei Kriyat Shema, Shel Laila, to when do you begin, when does it end? No, let him cut out of his Gemara all the opinions we don't paskin like. Someone will pop up and say, why do I have to learn all the different opinions if we don't paskin like these people, Scotty? They are not relevant to us. Cut it out. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Abaye, Rabbi, whatever you come along, Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Wow, you can take the Gemara and cut it down to size. Wonderful question. The Rav would always say, make no mistake about it. When you learn Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, Abaye and Rabbi, Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, it's the same Torah Sheva Al Peh. Effie, you cannot say, wow, I'm not getting the same schar. We don't paskin like Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel we paskin like. Chas v'chalila. It's all Torah Sheva Al Peh. The schar is exactly the same. Chas v'chalila, we should start cutting Amorayim and Tanayim out of Shas and Paiskim because we don't paskin like them. Well, that makes Rabbi Lopez Cardoza's question all the stronger. If it's all Torah Sheva Al Peh, so fine, we paskin like Beit Hillel at that time. Why can't we paskin like Beit Shammai this man has? Fine, we paskin like Rish Lakish at that time. Now like Rabbi Yochanan. Then Rabbi Meir. Now Rabbi Yehuda. Then Abaye. Why not today, Rava? Fabulous question, 100%. Gentlemen, who asked this question? What is the answer? If we understand the answer, we understand the heart of Torah, the heart of Torah Sheva Al Peh, the heart of human existence, the heart of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who asked this question? The Rambam. Open up the Mishnah Torah, open up the Hakdama, and in that Hakdama, you have the start of the understanding of who we are, what we are, and how the Torah system works. I'm quoting you from the Hakdamot I have in front of me. I believe, this is the Frankel edition. I'm not happy about using the Frankel edition, but it's very good. Why am I not happy about it? Because they also go along with the herd, with the crowd, and sinningly left out all the chidushim of Rav Avram Yitzchak, a Kohen Cook. And there are many issues in the Rambam where you look into his writings, you have fabulous insight and answers. Halacha l'maisa as well. And it's a tzioni, Hashem Yirachem. Do me a favor, please open the door, it's making noise. Open it all the way. So this is the Frankel edition, and I'm quoting in the Frankel edition, beginning on page Gimel, second column. And you all know that in Hakdamah to the Mishneh Torah describes the whole process, the whole history of the Torah Shabbat path. And he describes how after the Talmud was finished, Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, B'nai Yisrael started to spread out to many different countries. So far away from having one central source, Rabat Katabi Olam Benishtapshu Hadrachim Begayasat Benitma Eight Talmud Torah. V'lo nichnesu Yisrael l'mod b'yeshivotechem alafim u'ravavot k'mo shehayu mikol them. And he describes, we lost centrality, we lost the focal point. Thousands no longer can learn, people struggle to make a living. Ela mitkapsim yechidim hashridim asher Hashem Elokim korei b'chol ir v'ir b'chol medina medina v'yoskim b'torah u'mevinim b'chiburei hachachamim kulam v'yodim mechem derech hamishpat heichu. And he says in every locality they're the chosen few, those who have chosen to learn, to understand, and work hard in learning, and they're the ones that guide the people in their locality. So here he explains, he gives us the key. All over the world, you have choice. We're no longer living with one focal, central authority. All over the world, you have choice. But when it comes to the Gemara, Avo Kol Hadvarim, this is on page Dalet, the first column, Avo Kol Hadvarim Shebitalmich HaBavli Chayavim Kol Beit Yisrael Lelechet Bahem V'Kofim Kol Yir V'Yir B'chol medina u'medina linhog b'chol hamin hagot shenahagu hachamin shebetalmid v'ligzog zeirot k'valechet b'tikunatam. And now the key words. Hoyel b'chol otan hadvarim shebetalmid iskimu aleihem kol yis Ra'el. Wow. Crystallization. When it comes to the Gemara, the Jewish people have resolved that everything that they reached a conclusion about, every halacha they paskin, it absolutely obligates every Jew, Bahasher Husham, his Kimalein Kol Yisrael. Now, I'll come back to those words. But what does this mean? On one level, we Jews have to be one. We're one people. It's one Torah. All of you who have lived through Pesach in Eretz Yisrael know how much we suffer. Kidneyot. No kidneyot. Derivatives of kidneyot. We're talking something that halachically, on a scale to 1 to 10, maybe counts for 0.5%. Well, kidneyot, not kidneyot. It's chametz. It's an open gemara. You can cook rice from today to tomorrow. It ferments and ferments. It's not chametz. But all right, a minute began. And yet you know how uncomfortable we are in Eretz Yisrael, those of us that live here, Baruch Hashem. And every family, thank God today, we have inter-ethnic mixed marriages. I have Persians, Tunisians, Libyans, etc. My own direct descendants, their blood is in them, Baruch Hashem. Moroccans, Chief Rabbi Ar Akiva, his daughter was my student, his granddaughter is my granddaughter-in-law, my great-grandchildren, and they are geniuses, believe me, at the age of two, they can rattle off in Hebrew what took me 50 years to learn, and I'm still not on their level. So, and you know how, could you imagine if we had a different Torah on every level, on Kashrut, on Shabbat, on Tarat Mishpacha? So you have to reach a crystallization. Be'ivrit meduberet hitgapshut. That's the word we use in modern Hebrew. In the Rambam's language, hiskimu aleihem kol Yisrael. With all due respect to Rabbi Dr. Lopez Cardoza, his proposal to change the maskanot of the Gemara does not get off the floor. Chas v'chalila, we should start changing the maskanot of the Gemara. The end of Yiddishkeit, the end of our unity. We'd be like Karayim, Sedukim, Rabbanim. It would be terrible. But I want to ask another question. And here I have to tell you, and I mentioned this before. It's one thing when I studied with the Rav in the 50s into the early 60s. I was a kid. Didn't know too much. Didn't know what to ask the Rav, didn't know how to take advantage of sitting right next to the Rav and robbing oxygen from him. But then you grow older, and I can't say I became smarter, but again, no one can accuse me of not trying to be smarter. In 1978, I spent the Shabbat with the Rav in Boston, and I spoke with him learning for hours. And then already I knew a little bit. And one of the questions I asked him was this Rambam. I said, Rebbe, Hiskum Aleihem Kol Yisrael, all right, it happened in relation to Chazal, Shas. Does it repeat itself? And specifically, take a look. Shulchan Aruch. Many people wrote codes of law. The Rush, the Rif, the Rambam, the Rashba wrote in certain areas. Nothing caught on like the Shulchan Aruch. Why the Shulchan Aruch caught on? All right, there are many theories. Probably the most basic reason is that the Ramah immediately covered the Shulchan Aruch with a mappah, with a tablecloth. And you have a code that's available, accessible to both Ashkenazim and to Sephardim. It's not a bad understanding. Could also be, and don't accuse me of saying this because I'm a religious Zionist, think every Jew has to feel this way. Shulchan Aruch was the first great code written al Admat HaKodesh. And you can feel the winds of the hills of Tzvat blowing at you when you read the Shulchan Aruch. So there was something very special about it. And then we can take the first reason, the Gola, and then sent it in Poland, the heart of the Jewish Gola, Golas, put a tablecloth on Eretz Yisrael, united the Jew, Basher Husham. And there's no question, Skari, you're studying for Smicha, what are you studying? Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer, Shulchan Aruch Hoshem Mishpat, Man Mechashmei. Why don't you study the Rambam? Why don't you study the Rif? Why are you taking exams in the Shulchan Aruch? Could very well be his scheme of Aleihem, Kol Yisrael. You have in front of you a repetition of what happened in relation to the Gemara. And it could be this goes on more in our time. For the sake of argument, look how the Mishnah Berurah caught on. Look how the Ben Ish Chai caught on in his world. Does this concept repeat itself? And Mori Rebbe, the Rav, we spoke about it for hours, going back and forth with examples. And I'll summarize the Rav's viewpoint in the Rav's own words. Could very well be that the Shulchan Aruch has a unique status. Could very well be that Yiskim Olen Kol Yisrael is an ongoing process, hundreds of years later, at a certain moment in time, you will have that hitkapshut, that crystallization. However, Rabbi said, and I don't want to say we both agreed, but I gave examples. It could be under certain circumstances, you can paskin against the Shulchan Aruch. I'll quote the Rav now. I don't say you can't paskin against the Shulchan Aruch, but you better know full well what you are doing. Quote, end quote. So you see, the Gemara, you can't paskin against. Gemara is Gemara. Kimu the kid, well, this is Torah Shabbat, Kabbalah. Goes back, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Midot Shatorah Nidreshet Bechem, all my lectures, all the Rambam, that Dhamma, the same as right, that Dhamma to the Mishnah Torah. I've spoken on this thousands, if not tens of thousands of hours over the decades. Shulchan Aruch, yes, no question. If Skadi wants Smicha, it's on Shulchan Aruch. But there already, it's not as authoritative as Shas. And perhaps at times you'll paskin against the Shulchan, but you better know why. And Yomo, give an example where we paskin against the Shulchan Aruch. Gotta make a living. 1 year I spent on this question. Yontif Sheni of Galiot. Ah, Effie. Where is Ellie? I'm looking for Ellie. I don't see him. Home Joey, who is that? Michael Miller, I see. It's Reuven. Yitzchak Cutler, I guess. Hi to you and to Judy. Yontif Sheni of Goliath. According to the Shulchan Aruch, Rakefet goes to America one day. I walked into the Angersville, the Philcrest. Remember what they told me? The janitor didn't get there. And could I turn the lights on? I said, Yontif Sheni, for me, it's like for you. I'm here. Where are my feet? According to the Shulchan Aruch, the guy from Hillcrest comes to Israel. I mean, someday I trust planes will be flying again. But from what I'm reading, it's not going to be too soon. Guy from Hillcrest comes to Israel. 2 days. 2 days? What are you, an idiot? I'm playing with my computer. I'm driving my car. And you're observing 2 days yontif. You're making kiddush, brachot levatala, davening musaf, not putting on tefillin. Wow, rakefet, let me smack myself. Who gave you the right to paskin against the Shulchan Aruch? All right. I can justify myself. It only took me over a year of shayurim, but we got there. Good. You got to know what you're doing. I didn't know at that time, and I'll come back to this next week. I didn't know at that time that there's an entire Kuntis HaShach where the Shach says exactly what Rebbe said, exactly what I'm quoting to you, exactly the conclusion I reached, exactly every posek in the world who's Molei v'godesh and v'ki v'shas v'poiskim and understands the halakhic system. It's a Kuntis HaShach. And yes, Iskim Aleihem repeats itself, but it's not with the same overall total authority that you have with Shas Chazal, Iskim Aleihem, Kol Yisrael. So this is very important. I would say this is crucial. You can have a machloket. Machloket in our times, a machloket between the Litvisha and the Pelisha, hashtiya kedat, eino meis. We have choice. You can follow the Bet Ephraim, you can follow the Mishkanot Yaakov, you can follow Rav Moshe Feinstein, you can follow the Mishnah Halacha. There is ample choice. But this leaves us with another problem. And Vic, this is the question we started touching upon following the last shir, after shir was over, if you recall. Why is the Torah amorphous like this? Why is there this flexibility? Why do we have so much room to answer, to give guidance, to decide, to think? And here we come to a basic klal in Torah Hashem. And that klal is very simple. Torah was not given by God to angels. It was given by God to mortals, and mortals are limited. We can be the smartest people in the world. Ein tzadik baruch asher lo yachta v'yaseh kulo tov. There is no one in the world who occasionally didn't make a mistake. It's part of being a mortal human being. There's scientists sitting in front of me. Morty, you have a PhD in science. Charlie, you have a PhD in science. I don't know, some of you also have advanced degrees in science. Well, they're human beings trying to reach conclusions. They're not always right. Look what's going on in America over the malarial pill. Some people swore by it, and now the results. I don't even want to use the word mixed. The results are negative. We're playing around with trying to come up with plasma, inject it, work it into a vaccine. There'll be many experiments. Some will succeed, some will fail. We're human beings. We're mortals. You all know the stories with the Rav giving a shiur. Kid asks a question. The Rav shoots him down. And 2 hours later, the Rav is looking for him in the greasy spoon, the cafeteria across the street from yeshiva. The Rav is looking for him to apologize. You are right. I was wrong. The Rav comes in the next week. I have in my notes where you can see I crossed out 3-4 pages because the next week the Rav said, I thought it over. I reworked it. And I was wrong in what I said last Wednesday. And he reworks the whole shiur on Tuesday. There's a famous story about an issue where the Rav differed with the Chazon Ish. I think it was something in Zrayim. In the PhD on the Chazon Ish, this issue was brought up. And I'm told that a number of years later, the Rav taught the same sugya years later, decades later. And a Talmud said, Rebbe, you're teaching it like the Chazon Ish today, not the way you wrote in Hapades in the 1930s. And the Rav says, I changed my mind. The way I understand it now. Talking about Dr. Benjamin Brown's famous doctorate on the Chazon Ish. It's over 900 pages, I believe, published by Hebrew University, Magnus Press, and Cardoza Law School. What the shidduch is between Cardoza and Hebrew U. I imagine he taught there for a while at Cardoza, so they were involved in helping to publish it. It's a brilliant, brilliant piece of work on the Chazon Ish. And he deals with the learning, Chazon Ish, the Rav. But well, I don't have to go further. You all know the classic story with the Baron Cutler, that he's giving the shiur. And I heard the story when I learned in Lakewood. I don't need the making of a guttel to tell me the story. And giving the shiur, and a Talmud in Hebron is sitting with his feet on the table. That's what I was told. And Rabban Cutler gets hysterical. Does he cover that Torah? Say Zitzman, this is the way you sit. This is cover that Torah. And the Talmud was Reb Dov Schwartzman. He shoots back at Rabban and they the Ketz Kolesh Yechid. If you can't learn, the Ketz Kolesh Yechid get me covered. Or the Ein Rambam felt them. If the Ketz Kolesh Yechid would not learn, I would give covered. But when you're missing a Rambam, and he shoots the Rambam at Rabban, shut down the whole shit. There are more stories like that. No. We all make mistakes. And Torah has to be given in a fashion that humans can live with it, can deal with it, can sanctify it, can sanctify themselves, come out with a living, pulsating system of Devar Hashem Zu Halacha. No? Ira, how do I know I'm right? How do I know I'm right? All right, Rebbe, make mistakes. You make a mistake. Of course I make mistakes. All right, the Rav made a mistake. Yeah, all right. It's a similar story with the Rav and Rav Goren. You all know that story too. Also, I believe it was in Hebron with Rav Gorenchik. And Rav Aaron Kotler makes mistakes. But we're talking Kedoshei Elyon. Open up Mishnayot. Rosh Hashanah Perek Bet Mishnah Chet and Mishnah Tet. Can't do better than an open Mishnah. And it's talking about Kiddush HaChodesh. And it's talking about two Edim that came to Rabbi Gamliel, the Amru, Re'inu, Bismano, Uvilei, Ibura, Lora'inu, Vikiblon, Rabbi Gamliel. That Adam came, we saw the moon the first night it could have possibly appeared, declared Rosh Chodesh. The next night they didn't see the moon. No, how is that possible? They're lying. The moon doesn't disappear. And nevertheless, Amar Rabbi, he received them. Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Harkonis, Eide Sheker Heim, Eich Meidin Alisha Sheyodah. Ulamacha Kreisa Ben Shinecha. First you say she gave birth, and one day later, the baby still has not come out. Someone's lying. Amalo Rabbi Yeshua, Roah Nitvarecha, Rabbi Yeshua said, Rabbi Dosa ben Hofanis, you're correct. And that year, it was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei we're talking about. It's the Nafgamina when Yom Kippur will be. Which day is the 10th? The 10th or the 11th? Is the 11th really the 10th? Think for a minute what we're talking about. Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua was set to observe his own Yom Kippur. Could you imagine two different days of Yom Kippur? Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel goes, Reini alecha shetavo etzli b'matlecha u'b'ma'otecha b'yom kippurim shechal liyot b'cheshbonecha. You all know the Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel said, appear before me on your Yom Kippur with your cane and with your pocketbook, with your money, with your Visa card, with, to use modern terminology, with your iPad, with your telephone, with your laptop. Wow. Yom Kippur we're talking about. And poor Rabbi Yeshua was so upset, he didn't know what to do. Rabbi Akiva met him, and Rabbi Akiva says to him, I have a pasuk that proves you shouldn't be upset, and you should go to Rabbi Gamliel on your Yom Kippur. Shenema, Eile Moadei Hashem Mikrei Kodesh Hashem Tikra'u Otam, that you will decide, Bein Bizmanim, Bein Shalo Bizmanim, Ein Li Moadot Eilu, Eilu, Ela Eilu. God told Basav Adam, you have to declare Rosh Chodesh. Can't be done up in heaven. It can't be done with ultimate truth that only God has. It has to be done Alei Adamah, on the earth. And when is Rosh Chodesh? Asher tikru'u otam, what you decide. God has to follow the human being. And it could be Rabbi Gamliel was wrong. Could be Rabbi Yeshua was right. But Yom Kippur is Rabbi Gamliel's Yom Kippur. He's the Nasi, he's the authority. And that's the Mishnah, where it describes how Rabbi Yeshua goes to him and Natla Maklom al Tavbi Ado, for Halach li Yavnetz al Rabban Gamliel b'yom shechal yom kippurim liyot b'cheshbano, amad Rabban Gamliel l'nishako al rosho, amalo, bo v'shalom, Rabbi v'talmidi. Rabbi b'chachma v'talmidi shekipalta et varai. What a Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel says, you were right. I was wrong. Ultimate truth, like Rabbi Yeshua. But yes, you're my Rebbe on that level. Rabbi, but v'talmidi. You are my student, Shekibalta et Dati. And when you look into the Mishnah, the part that I didn't read, you'll see the most important message of all. Vayal Moshe Aaron Adav Abihu v'shivim mizikne Yisrael v'lomo lo nitpashush motam shel skenim אלא ללמד של כל שלושה שעמדו בית דין על ישראל, הרי הוא כבית משום משה. We can't be like Moshe Rabbeinu. None of us. לא קם כמושה עוד, אני מאמין באמונה שלמה. Who are we? What are we? But if we start arguing this one doesn't equal that one, and this one is not knowledgeable, and this one made a mistake, we wind up canceling all our tradition, undermining the survival of Am Yisrael. We have all the reason in the world to think and have opinions, to write, to publish. But ultimately, we have to realize we're human beings, and we have to have a system that is one unique, achdut, unifying. There's authority. This is Rabbi Gamliel. He is the Nasi. Even where he may be wrong, God decrees that Yom Kippur is in accordance with his decision. Torah was not given to angels. It was given to mortals. And that's a very powerful Mishnah. And that's understanding what Torah Shebaal Peh is about. We can have difference of opinion. Ultimately, we try to reach a decision. We try to follow the majority. Acharei Rabbim Lahatot. This is critical for continued existence of Torah Shebaal Peh. But we have to understand humans can think differently. At times there can be machloket. At times you can have choice. At times you have to follow the authority in your locality. But this is part and parcel of the Torah system. The Gemara, universal authority. Shulchan Aruch, a very important authority. But it still allows individuality in accordance with learning and circumstances, subjectivity of when the question is asked, what the situation is, and how we have to react in accordance with our understanding and the breadth of Torah within us. Rick, if that Mishnah isn't strong enough for you, have an open Gemara. That's infinitely more powerful. Let me just, I see the teaching is harder here because I don't have my microphone. I look forward to the moment I can teach in my classroom, even if it's empty and only Yomo sitting there to record. Okay. Gemara Bav Metzia, Daf Nun Tet Amud Aleph, Tanur Di Achnai. Now, what did the Rav say when he quoted this Gemara? Remember, as a kid, when he was learning Bav Metzia, he cried when he got to this Gemara. And I don't blame him. Any kid who has a heart that has a Torah beat has to cry with this Gemara. Tanan hatam, chatchul chuliyot binatan chol ben chulya lechulya, Rabbi Eliezer mitaher v'chachamim mitamim. Zehu Tanur shel Achnai. And what are we talking about here? I'll quote the Odd Scroll footnote based upon Rashi's commentary. According to Rashi, the case involves an oven constructed from earthenware components. Each component was baked in a furnace until it hardened. And the components were then joined with a sand-based cement to form an oven. And this is the whole question. Klicheres, how it's put together. Does it become Tamei or doesn't it? And Rebbe Eliezer Paskin, absolutely Tahar. The Chachamim Paskin, Tamei. Ah, they fought, they battled, they brought proofs, and Rebbe Eliezer finally shouted out, Amalanim halacha kamoti charuv ze yochiach ne'kacharuv nimikomo mea amma. A carob tree. Rebbe Eliezer said, if the halacha is like me, let this carob tree be uprooted, rooted, and uprooted, thrown away 100 meters, more than the 50 meter you're allowed to walk outside your house. Twice the amount. Wow. The sages looked at him, the majority looked at him, and they refused to paskin. Ein mevi'in raya min acharuv. Choshevi avnei mahalachi vonti eimat mayim yochiyach. Choshevi eimat emlach reham amlo ein mevi'in raya meimat mayim. The water, the pool, should turn and flow in a different direction. And it did. Not enough. Doesn't prove anything. No. Beit HaMedesh yochiyach. Chatukos leibet. The most we call the Beit HaMedesh was about to cave in. And nevertheless, they refused to accept it as proof. Amalahem, in halakha kamoti min ha-shamayim yolchichu, yatsata bat kol v'yamra, malachem, eitzo Rebbe Eliezer, shehalakha kamoto b'kol makom. Finally, a heavenly voice. A heavenly voice. Does anyone recognize what I'm talking about? This was the most famous article on Das Tera by Rabbi Wurmberger of Young Israel of Williamsburg. And he said, Das Tera is like a heavenly voice, a little bit beneath it, he said. The famous article in Jewish Observer, the most extreme expression of Das Tera. And the heavenly voice rang out and said, the halakha is like Rebbe Eliezer. Omer Rebbe Yeshua Rav Glavi Amar, lo bashamayim hi, malo bashamayim hi. Rebbe Yirmiyahu Shekvar natna Torah mehar Sinai, ein anu mashgichim bevatko, shekvar katafta bahar Sinai b'Torah, acharei rabim lahatot. What a gemara. A heavenly voice, and they tell the heavenly voice, can't follow you. Beat it out of here. Torah was given to human beings. Lo bashamayim hi. Acharei rabim lahatot. And you will know on the whole shayla of shuta rabim, and can you carry, can't you carry? If you recall my lectures, the Be'er Halacha starts counting up Achronim, trying to figure out where do you have the majority. And ultimately, there is no majority either way. When you look into Rav Menashe Klein's Tshuva, you see how many Achronims from the Hasidic world go against Achronim, the Litvisha world. But we're human beings. Human beings can't go up to heaven. Human beings can't depend upon a heavenly voice. Lo bashamayim hi. We're humans. We have Rabbanim. We have a Beit Din. It's the time of the Gemara. Acharei rabim lahatot. Ashkechei rabbi natim liyahu lohu. Oma leima vita kadosh baruch hu bahachi shaita. Oma lei karchiyuch liyamah. Nitzchuni banai. Nitzkuni. And the Gemara continues that one of the Amorayim met Eliyahu Hanavi and asked him, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu feel when the Chachamim said, Lo b'shamayim, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, beat it out of here. We're not interested in your heavenly voice. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nitzchuni banai, Nitzchuni. I'll end off. I'm not finished with the topic, Vic. I still owe you the ksot. The ksot is worth 36,000 shekel on the dollars linked to the shekel on the IOU list. Or maybe the shekel has to be linked to the dollar today, but we'll get there, Bezrat Hashem, next week. Hold on. This Gemara, where did I first come across it? Where did I first publish it? Go back to the first edition of Bernard Revel, Builder of American Jewish Orthodoxy. What happened? Rabbi Revel came to New York in 1915 to organize the first yeshiva high school in the United States. And by the way, that was, as far as Israel goes, was also a precursor about what happened later with Midrashia Noam and Kvaha Roeh, etc. So after he opened the high school January 1916, he then got involved in reorganizing the yeshiva and giving it a formal curriculum. And now they're training rabbis for the first time that are going to be rabbanim in the United States. And they want to have a curriculum. And the students would like to have homiletics, supplementary rabbinic courses, what you get credit for listening to Rakepit's jokes. So the students pressed Rabbi Revel, and he was opposed. He said, no, a yeshiva has to be like a regular yeshiva, just shas and poskim and nothing else. And the student said to him, but Rabbi Revel, you yourself dashin and quote midrashim and give us messages that are based upon homiletics. If that is the case, please enable us to do the same thing. And Rabbi Revel answered, Nitzchuni banai, Nitzchuni. So, and I quoted in my work on Rabbi Revel. So to reiterate, what have we done today? So we finished out the tshuva of Reb Menashe Klein. It's a fascinating tshuva. What he touches upon are the heart of understanding Torah Shebal Peh, Psak Halacha. We then took up Rabbi Nathan Lopez Cardoza's question. We did the Rambam Hakdama LeMishnah Torah, very crucial. But nevertheless, after Chatimat HaTalmud, Hiskimu Aleim Kol Yisrael becomes infinitely more difficult, if not, I would say, impossible, and impossible until today. I don't have to tell you how much one can lecture on the attempt to reconstitute the Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael, based upon the Pesach of the Rambam and Hilchat Sanhedrin, if all the Chachamim would get together in Eretz Yisrael, etc. And even with an open Rambam, we never came anywhere near being able to think about reconstituting the Sanhedrin. I don't have to tell you how much opposition there was to Heichal Shlomo. Heichal Shlomo today, the building is not what it used to be. It's Herzog College. With all due respect to Herzog College, it's not the Rabbanut HaRashit and the Chief Rabbinate and the Beit HaGodol sitting there, and the opposition, because they built it like the Sanhedrin where the judges could all see each other in a semicircle. Oh my, what went on, Chas v'Chalila, that they want to have a Sanhedrin, the Briskel Rav and his opposition and all that went with it. But nevertheless, even though we don't have a focal or central authority, we have Gedol Yisrael, we have Poskim of Hakim, but it's a human system. We have to function within human reality, limitations, configuration and capability. And Torah allows for it. And this is the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. This is the Gemara in Bava Metzia. And we'll build upon this with an unbelievable Tzot HaChoshen that the Rav constantly referred to, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, his father, coming into a letter of the Chazon Ish, which may be the most important letter he ever wrote. Tomorrow, Be'ezrat HaNotein Ya'ev Koach, at the same table, with the same background, Be'ezrat Hashem, we pick up where we left off, using a microphone on Shabbat in Shul, with the, I don't know of any other safer Shelet and Shuvet that cites a non-Jewish letter in English dealing with how a microphone works. Mori, what the title, the lecture, crystallization in halacha and flexibility. Okay? Autonomy and flexibility, as you wish. Play with it and come up with a title. Yom, I don't see Ellie. Effie, am I right? I don't see Ellie in front of me. He can't answer. Yomo, could you put it online? Put it up in YU Torah?
Everyone's unmuted now.
Okay.
And Yomo, I'm stopping the recording.
Can you answer me? Yomo.
Because,